Morning, Perry.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Good, Dave.
I'm doing well, thank you. All right, Galatians chapter 3. In keeping with our following along with our daily Bible reading, Galatians chapter 3 is, we just read this in our schedule. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us together here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we'll have today to get together afterward and after the service and fellowship and enjoying the provision that you made for us, Father. We pray, Lord, that we would have a good day all through, that our service would be blessed, Father, with truth and encouragement and enlightenment, Father, and that our fellowship afterward would be blessed as well, that it might be a day of rejoicing, of edification, and of thanksgiving to you, Father. And we pray that you would teach us now by your Holy Spirit, through your word, in our Savior's name we pray, amen. Galatians and chapter 3. Paul, here in this chapter, there's a couple of points that Paul brings out here in Galatians chapter 3, how that God, as he was beginning and working through his program for the redemption of mankind, how that he, as he reveals to Paul the things that he does in terms of the mystery, in terms of things that hadn't been revealed before, things that hadn't entered into the heart of man and so forth, Paul brings out here in Galatians chapter 3 how that, despite the fact that God didn't reveal those things, he didn't tell those things, he did see them. And he did make provision for them. And a couple of very important connections that Paul brings out here in Galatians chapter 3, I'd just like to look at. And we may be, I'm going to try not to go long this morning. In fact, we may be, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. But we do want to take a look at some of these things here. Galatians chapter 3, if you'll pick it up with me in, we can get it in Galatians 3 verse 6, Paul says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now this is, Paul says this often, that they which are of faith are the children of Abraham. So when we read it, coming in from our perspective and having all of Paul's epistles in front of us and knowing his doctrine, that's not a, we kind of almost pass over a statement like that and think, okay, well obviously the children of faith are the children of Abraham. But this is new revelation that the Apostle Paul is giving us here. The children of Abraham, of course, is that nation of Israel. And that's how it was always seen. That's how it was always understood. It was never understood to be anything but that. The blessing that was going to come upon this world was going to come through that nation, through that physical nation. And we'll take a look at that in a moment, but let's read a little further on through. Know ye therefore, verse 7 again, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now you want to notice there, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Come with me, hold your hand here, come with me back to Acts chapter 15, if you would. You want to notice what that verse is saying and what the verse is not saying. Paul does not say the Scriptures foretelling that God would justify the heathen through faith. He says the Scriptures foreseeing. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. It wasn't revealed back there. God didn't say it, but He saw it. And now that we know Pauline truth and the revelation that was given to him, we can look back and we can see how that God made preparation for this mystery. In other words, the mystery wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't something that it wasn't a change in the program that God hadn't prepared for. And Paul brings that out there in Galatians chapter 3. Acts chapter 15, James recognizes that fact here. You know what's happening in Acts chapter 15? Paul is out ministering among the Gentiles. Some of the brethren from the church at Jerusalem came unauthorized, came into Paul's church there at Antioch, and started saying, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. You have to become like a Jew. And Paul, it says, had no small dissension with them. So they come to Jerusalem to discuss the issue. And we won't read the whole passage. I just want to get starting in verse 13 in a few verses here. Acts 15, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. You want to get that and understand that. And that's what Paul presses throughout his ministry and throughout his epistles. That although his revelation wasn't made known, it wasn't foretold, it agrees. It's not contrary to the other scriptures. To this the words agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this will I return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now, where are you here in prophecy? Well, you're rebuilding the temple. The restoration of Jerusalem has occurred. You're in the kingdom, essentially. And the residue, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And that's what Paul is bringing out back in Galatians chapter 3, if you come back there with me. The Lord knew what he was going to do, and he set up the beginning of the program to leave room for what he would do later. Galatians chapter 3 again, verse 8. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, someone looks at that, and So I can't count the number of people I've talked to, and bring up that verse when you talk about the fact that there are different gospels in the Bible. And someone will bring you here to Galatians chapter 3, and they'll say, no, see, that God preached the gospel to Abraham way back there. But notice what the gospel is that God preached to Abraham. He preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, Jesus Christ is going to die for your sins. Right? Is that the gospel that was preached to Abraham? The gospel he preached to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That was the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Now, I'll point out to you that if you go out there today telling people, in thee shall all nations be blessed, you're not going to get them saved. That's not the gospel that we preach today. But it's the gospel. It's the gospel in that verse that was preached to Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, what did Abraham believe? God said, Abraham, come out here and take a look at the stars, and if you can number them, the sand of the sea, if you can number it, so shall thy seed be. Now, I'll tell you what, it would be a lot easier for you and me if that was the gospel. If we today, if we could go out and tell people, your seed is going to be blessed. Your seed is going to be multiplied. God is going to bless you and your seed forever. Boy, people would receive that, wouldn't they? There's no offense of the cross in that. There's nothing for them to shrink from in that. It'd be for our sakes and just presenting the gospel. That'd be nice if it was the same gospel all the way through, just for our own, you know, personal. It's easier to preach that to someone. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Well, that's another thing again. See, the gospel is not the same message throughout. The message changes. And we can't go saying, well, this is the gospel, it started way back there, and preaching the message that started way back there. It's not going to work. So you've got the gospel being preached to Abraham, but you want to notice the gospel, he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So the gospel that was preached to Abraham does have a connection to the gospel that Paul preaches. And the connection is in that term there, all nations. Come over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's talk about all nations. Because all nations in Paul's ministry and all nations under the old program are two very different, you get two very different perspectives on all nations. Romans chapter 1 and let's get the whole 5-6 verses there to start with. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, Paul's ministry was an all nations ministry. Look at the end of the book, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In chapter 15, he brings out the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was a minister of one nation, the circumcision. And he gave it to Paul to be his minister to all nations, to the Gentiles. Chapter 16, verse 26, talking about the ministry that now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of God, of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So the Apostle Paul has an all-nations ministry, and the issue is the obedience of faith. Now, come back with me, if you would, to Genesis, all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. And let's take a look at all nations. We're talking about God having had in mind from the beginning what he was going to do. Even though he didn't tell people about it, Paul says that his purpose was hid in himself, and he didn't make it known to the sons of men. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is where all nations come from. So all nations begin here in the 11th chapter of Genesis. Genesis 11, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. One of the things about nations that separate nations from one another is language. families, that is ethnicity, governmental structure, the national political structure, and language. Those are the things. Peoples, nations, tongues. Those are the things by which nations are separated and created. So the whole earth here was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And the passage goes down to talk about the Tower of Babel that they built. And God, in verse 7... says, "Go to, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. So this is where God creates all nations. But He doesn't just create all nations here. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that if we had read further, that not only did He create all these nations, but He cast them off. God put them aside. He gave them up. He gave them over. So, in the very creation of all nations is a separation from God, and is a casting off. So the nations from their birth are separated from God. So all nations in the Bible are the enemies of God throughout. But that's chapter 11. Now as you move into chapter 12, after that happens, the whole world is separated into all nations and cast away from God. Then immediately in chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now that's what Paul just quoted to us there in Galatians chapter 3. So the all nations program, what I'm getting to here is that it's from the very beginning. From the very beginning, from the time that there were such a thing as all nations, number one, they were cast off, separated from their birth. Number two, immediately at that time, God begins to make provision to reconcile, to bring them back again, to not leave all nations in that separated, cursed, cast-off circumstance that He found them in. So he casts off, He creates all nations, casts them off in the same act. Then He calls out one man and He says, "I'm going to make of you a great nation, and then in you, in thee, and in thy seed, all the nations are going to be blessed." Now, let's talk about that that seed for a minute. Come on back to Galatians chapter 3. Now Paul, he says that in that provision, God made room for the dispensation that you and I live in today. Now He didn't tell Abraham that this is what He was going to do. But in calling Abraham out and in the promises that God made to Abraham, He left the opening and the room, the space to do what He knew He was going to do later on. Back in, and that is to bless all nations. Galatians chapter 3 again. Now look a little further on in the passage, and we're just skipping around here. Now that's one provision that God made. Now here's another provision that God made. Verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, again, people will come to this verse, and they'll say, well, see, it wasn't Israel at all. It was never Israel. The seed, all the while back there, that in thee and in thy seed shall all nations be blessed, it was talking about Christ. It was never the nation of Israel. So the nation of Israel, they're cast off. Once Christ came, well, God had no more use for them, because the lineage was provided, the seed came, so the rest of them could be just done away. But the fact of the matter, what Paul is not, remember, the message is not contrary to the Old Testament scriptures. It's not foretold, but it is foreseen. And it is not contrary to. And to say that Christ is the seed to the exclusion of that nation is contrary to the Old Testament scriptures, to all the scriptures. And Paul is not contradicting the scripture here. What he's telling us is exactly what we're seeing here throughout this passage this morning, is that God made a provision. He left it open for himself to be able to do what he was going to do, to make the seed Christ. And the way he did that is, Paul says, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now you know, as well as I do, that the word seed can be singular or plural. Now, had he said seeds, well, then he would have locked himself in, because that can't be singular or plural. That's just plural, seeds. But seed can be one, or it can be a handful of seed. It could be a bag of seed. It can be a barn full of seed. It can be either or. So Paul is, what he's saying here is that the Lord, in the promise, in the wording, he left it open so that it didn't have to be through that nation. It could be through one man, through Christ. Now, let's take a look at that seed for a second. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to get a few verses. I want to run a couple just to make sure we understand, because people will say, well, look, Paul says that the seed is Christ, and sure enough it is. What Paul doesn't say, and what people want to make that say, is that the seed is not Israel. Paul doesn't say the seed is not Israel. He says the seed is Christ. The seed is Christ. It is also Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. Deuteronomy 10:15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers, talking to that nation, of course, to love them. He chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. Now let me ask you, is he talking to Christ here? Or is he talking to the children of Israel? What does he say? He says, God promised, and he chose the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob seed after them, even you. Above who? All people. Now that's what we're talking about. All nations. So you have a nation that is the seed. It's very clear here. Come to Isaiah chapter 61. And that nation, Isaiah 61, is the seed to whom the promises were made. Paul, in that verse in Galatians, is speaking inclusively, not exclusively. He's not saying that the seed is Christ to the exclusion of Israel. He's saying that the seed, that the way God made the promise, you can see that he left the opportunity for himself to do what he knew he was going to do. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, made all of these provisions. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 9 says, "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them," he's talking about Israel, "shall acknowledge them," notice that's plural, "that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed." So people look at Galatians chapter 3 and they don't want to acknowledge that the children of Israel are the seed. That verse says that one day, talking about in the kingdom, all the Gentiles are going to look at them and they're going to acknowledge that this is the seed. They are the seed that the Lord has blessed. The nation of Israel is not excluded in Paul's statement there. Look at Acts chapter 3. Book of Acts, we're working our way back towards Galatians. Acts chapter 3. You want to get these verses and have them because people will, you'll find yourself discussing that verse with someone at some point if you haven't yet. Acts chapter 3. You say, well, Israel was the seed up until they crucified their Messiah. Then now they're not the seed anymore. Now Christ is the seed. Well, here we are after the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension. Peter is speaking to the nation of Israel here in Acts chapter 3. And he says in verse 25, "Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Who's the seed? Ye are the children of the prophets, the children of the fathers, and you are the seed that that verse was talking about, Peter says. So when Paul quotes that verse and he makes the seed Christ, he's not denying what the Lord originally meant by that. He's only saying that the Lord left it inclusive so that Christ could be the seed apart from the nation of Israel. And so Peter says, unto you first, you the seed that promise was made to, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So unto that nation, unto the seed of Abraham, Christ came, he says, first. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to that seed so that all of those nations could be blessed. The seed had to be blessed first. Then all nations come in afterward. Look in Matthew. I said we were going to go back to Galatians, but we don't need to. Look in Matthew chapter 25. We've already read the passage there. Matthew 25. So how do all nations get blessed? Well, God knew the whole time that he was going to bless the heathen through faith, right? Through Christ. And if you're in Christ, there, Paul says, you are Abraham's seed. So you got the children of Israel are Abraham's seed. Christ is Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed. All different ways. All different ways. So God has left this open to do everything that he had planned on doing. Now let's talk about all nations before Paul tells you about all nations. Matthew chapter 25 verse 31. How are all nations going to be blessed according to that promise in Genesis 12? Well, you see it here. Matthew 25 verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them," so the Lord is here, he's come, he's set up his kingdom. "The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So he's there. The kingdom is established. He's in Jerusalem. sitting on the throne, and he gathers all nations before him. Now let me ask you something. If he's sitting in Jerusalem, in Israel, the Lord sends out the decree, I need all nations to come and gather before me. Well, there's one nation that's not in that pack. It's Israel, where the Lord is. So again, you have the seed being above all nations and separate from all nations. Luke chapter 4, we don't have to go there. When Satan brought the Lord up to the top of that high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, all of this power is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Well, there was a nation that was excluded there. Moses told that nation of Israel, you will not be numbered among the nations. And Satan didn't have, he was not the prince of Israel. Michael was the prince of Israel. Satan had all the rest. But there's a separation there. Now, Satan eventually got them. They fell, and the prince of the power of the air now worketh in the children of disobedience. And Israel is under his jurisdiction today, too. But that's during the dispensation of grace. In this time here that we're talking about, there's that separation. Watch it. Verse 32 again. Therefore, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. Now these are the righteous nations that he set on his right hand. Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? They're going, I don't remember that. When did we see Jesus and do all of those things to him? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now let me ask you, if he's got all nations lined up in front of him, who are these my brethren? Well, it's Israel. It's the seed. He's the seed. They're the seed. Therefore, they are these his brethren. Hebrews says that he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What does his own mean? Paul says, if any man provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, he had denied the faith and so forth. They were his family, his brethren. So these nations, all nations, are being judged. Now you notice, back in verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Look at the next verse, beyond where we just read, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And you go down through there, and he says the exact same thing he said to the other one, but he said, you didn't feed me, you didn't give me to drink, you didn't clothe me. And they say, when didn't we do all of these things? And in verse 45, He answers and says, verily I say to you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. So, now you go back and you think about Genesis chapter 12. In thee shall all nations be blessed. And you look at this and you go, well, all nations are not being blessed. Only some of them are being blessed. But the other part of that promise is, he that blesseth thee, I will bless, and he that curseth thee, I will curse. So you see you see that promise coming to fruition here in Matthew chapter 25, when the Lord is in that set up his kingdom, and all nations are gathered together. What you see happening here is the Abrahamic covenant being fulfilled. All the nations that blessed the seed of Abraham, that gave them to drink, that he's talking about in that tribulation period, that harbored and helped the Jewish people and fed them and nurtured them and so forth. All of those, he says, come ye blessed. You blessed Israel, Abraham's seed. Now you are blessed of God. And the others, they cursed Abraham's seed. They would not do what they needed to minister to that nation. And he says, therefore you are cursed. And them that bless Abraham are blessed, and them that curse Abraham are cursed. So that's how all nations are dealt with according to that Abrahamic promise and according to that covenant that God made. Now, Paul, back in Galatians 3, and we'll quit, we learn through the Apostle Paul that God had, in addition to that program, the Lord had another all nations program. Galatians chapter 3, and that is that the seed of Abraham is not the physical children of Israel, although we just saw several verses that says it is. And the seed of Abraham is the Lord Jesus Christ as coming from Abraham in the flesh. But it is also the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior that would come to save the heathen through faith. So, the heathen then, chapter 3, again, and this is, we quoted this verse a minute ago, is not at all according to the prophetic program at the end of the chapter, verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So now he's talking to the heathen, all nations. Now, all nations are not Abraham's seed, only those who come to him by faith, who come to Christ by faith. But when you do that, you become Abraham's seed. That wasn't the promise. In thee and in thy seed would all nations be blessed. They wouldn't become your seed. Remember, it's Israel over here and all the rest of the nations out over here. But we now know through the dispensation of the grace of God that he had prepared before the foundation of the world and didn't tell anybody about this whole time, not only are we blessed by the, are we the dogs that catch the crumbs that fall from the master's table, which is what all nations were, but now we have actually become the children of God through Abraham's seed. We become the seed of Abraham by faith. That wasn't revealed before. That was never hinted at before. There was nothing like that in the Old Testament scriptures. But the scripture foresaw it and made provision for it and left it open so that God could do what he's doing today by his grace rather than by covenant and promise. And we will leave it there. Do you have a question? Yes, sir.
I just have a comment.
Yeah.
A good word when you're talking about the seed of Israel, or the seed of Abraham, and Christ being the seed.
Mm-hmm.
A good word is both.
Both. Yeah, absolutely. They are. Is Christ the seed? Yes. Is Israel the seed? Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir.
A lot of people believe that the body of Christ is the
Afterthought?
After.
Yeah.
They believe it was an incident. But you see, it was in the mind of God before the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people tell me, oh no, the mainstream in the whole Bible is who was going to get the crown. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were sparring between the devil and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Who will get the crown
mm-hmm.
of the universe?
Yeah.
See?
Right.
And the body of Christ was only incidental.
Yeah. Well, it's incidental if you don't take the rest of the universe outside of planet Earth into account, because that's where the body of Christ fits in. Israel is going to have the crown on the Earth, but there's a whole lot more that the Earth, you know, geographically is a tiny speck in the you know, context of the universe, and the heavenly places out there are for the body of Christ. So that's kind of hard to say that's incidental. It's a huge part of that crown that you're talking about. Before I lose my thought there, in the passage we just read in Matthew 25, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The body of Christ was prepared from before the foundation of the world. So it's not that God didn't have it in mind, it's just that he didn't, while he was doing all the other stuff, he kept it hid in himself. And when it was the due time came, the word that was promised, in Paul says in Titus, before the foundation of the world, was made manifest over here through the Apostle Paul.
Now Christ was hid in God to himself, right?
The mystery was hid in God.
The mystery was hid in God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because a lot of people, you know, that's what they're saying all through the whole stream of the Bible. You know, who's going to get the crown?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on earth.
Yeah.
See, that's what the body of Christ was incidental.
It was incidental, yeah. Well,
yeah.
People can, you need to read your Bible, I suppose.
Was it you that told me that the body of Christ has preeminence?
Sure.
Over the kingdom of God.
Yes, the heavenly government always has preeminence above the earthly government.
Right.
Throughout the scripture.
Right. Yeah,
far
you.
Above all heavens.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Okay.